It's interesting how the Holy Spirit works, and I'm in complete awe this morning in how both these songs tie in perfectly with what the Lord's given us this morning. We often boast about our society and how intelligent our society has become today and how far mankind has come. But no matter how hard we try to prove our argument, there's one thing that becomes clear as we live, that we do not know everything. There are people who claim to be intelligent and may know a lot, but as time goes on, at some point, they come to a dead end and have no true answers. So I thought about this week. I thought there's three things that come to mind that are common to all mankind. First of all, we have problems, don't we? We have problems. Secondly, we have needs. And thirdly, we want answers and solutions. But in our quest for solutions and answers, we hit a wall in regards to our future. We can neither know nor control the future. It doesn't matter how hard we try, and we spend a lot of money and a lot of energy trying to control the future. We have no control in regards to saving ourselves from problems, proving ourselves as time goes on, providing for our needs, getting answers to the solutions and solutions to the problems that we are involved in life. So what this does, it instills in us the need for a higher power that knows more and can give answers. So, trying to control everything, we've created computers and modern technology in order to provide solutions to our dilemmas, and yet we struggle. Oh my gosh, do we ever struggle with our computers and our technology and our phones? I always say, my argument is, we're society is going backwards, not forwards. Why is this? I want to suggest this morning that we're not turning our attention to the proper higher power. Over and over again, the Bible prints out a picture of someone who provides solutions for his people and saves them. Sometimes from, sometimes out of their troubles. This someone is our all-knowing God. Our all-knowing God. And as the song goes, people need the Lord. People need the Lord. We know no one likes a know-it-all, and maybe that's why a lot of people don't like God. Because when they really examine God, we find that God does know it all. He knows everything about each one of us. He created each one of us. He not only knows our past, He knows our present. And the scary part is He knows our future. He knows what we're going to be doing before we even do it. And some people don't like someone like that who knows everything about them. God's attributes, when we talk about God and His greatness, we think of three words: omnipotent, which is all-powerful; omnipresent, which means He's always present everywhere at the same time. But to be these, omnipotent, all-powerful, and always present, He must first and foremost be omniscient. And omniscient means all-knowing. Because if God is not all-knowing, He's not going to exercise His all-power properly. When God possesses the power of the universe, the power to speak and create things out of nothing, unless that entity knows all, that power is distorted and used for wrong purposes. Unless God is all-knowing, He cannot transcend the bounds of time and space to be always present everywhere. So God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. And actually, this is one of the things that we should praise Him for and glorify God for. He knows the details, past, present, and future. For the true believer, this becomes a source of our comfort in our time of need. Right from the time of Jesus' birth, it seems there was trouble in Jesus' life, just like ours. But God knew it was going to be that way. And herein lies the question, and maybe this is a sermon for another day. If God knows all things, why does He allow so much trouble in life? Well, I want to encourage you to read the Bible, because that's the story in the Bible over and over and over again. God in His own divine way is drawing all things to Himself. And sometimes that involves us experiencing a little trouble in our lives. In our text today, we're reminded Jesus was born in Bethlehem during the time of King Herod. And Magi, these wise men that we call them, this honorable class of astrologers from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one that has been born king of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and we've come to worship him." Okay? So the wise men, the Magi, come to Jerusalem. They come, they ask, and King Herod was disturbed. King Herod was disturbed. So he asked the chief priests and the teachers, what does the scriptures say about the Christ, the Messiah? And they said, well, he's to be born in Bethlehem in Judea. So Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them when they had seen the star. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report back to me so that I can worship him too." They heard the king. They went on their way. They followed the star, led them to Bethlehem. And when they came to the place where the child was, they came to a house. They saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. But an interesting chain of events begins at this point. They were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they returned to their country by another route. And when they had gone, we see here a picture of God's omniscience. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Now, Joseph is having these angels appear to him, announcing that Mary was going to have a child. They were to name him Jesus. He was going to save his people from their sins. That this Jesus was going to be this prophesied king. Matthew presents Jesus as the king, by the way. The Magi came and said, "Where's this king of the Jews that's been born?" An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." God knew this was going to take place before Mary and Joseph got the news, before others got the news. The only people that had the news to go and find him was the Magi. Herod knew what he had planned in his mind, and so did God, because God knows everything. We say, well, why did God allow Jesus to be born? Let's hold that thought for a moment. Joseph got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Okay, first of all, we see here, God provided protection, not only for Mary and Joseph, but for Jesus, in sending him to Egypt. Okay? God knew what was going to take place. God knew that he was going to send his son. He knew that people were going to reject his son. He knew he was going to have to provide protection for his son, and that's what this is. God's omniscience being unfolded as time went on. Now, depending on the commentaries you read and the timelines you look at, they were in Egypt possibly a year, maybe two at the most, maybe a little less. Herod died. But Jesus was sent to Egypt in fulfillment of the prophecies. The Old Testament prophecies prophesied that out of Egypt would come God's Son. Well, Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi. You see, we see God's omniscient power and his plan. Herod's plan was to kill Jesus. But God had a greater plan. God always has a greater plan for his people, by the way. God has a greater plan for you. You have to remember that. Despite all the plans to destroy you, God has a greater plan. And this was God's plan unfolding. Prophecy was being fulfilled. Herod realized he was outwitted by the Magi. No, it wasn't. He was outwitted by God. Because God knows everything. And he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that the Magi had seen the star. Now, folks, think about this. Other people were going to suffer because Herod was after one person. Think of what was taking place here. Herod was furious. He was carrying out his anger at God, really. And many people were going to suffer because of it. So he killed all the boys. Had all the boys killed. And what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and refusing to be comforted because they're no more. Now, I don't have time this morning to get into this, but Ramah was a gathering central hub for the captives that were carried off into captivity in Babylon. Okay? And as Israel, God's people, were carried off, okay, the prophecy was that Rachel, which meant Israel, was going to weep and refuse to be comforted because they were carried off. In the same way, Jesus was carried off from his homeland. And it tells us that after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." Look at God working in this situation. God constantly is moving people, speaking to people, and God moves people to get his will done. Now, here's several dreams Joseph has had by this point. And he got up and he took the child and his mother and he went to the land of Israel. You talk about scary. We're going to Egypt? Yep. God says, "I want you to go to Egypt. I'm going to protect you there. And then I'm going to bring you back." Think about that in your own life. God protects us in many different ways that doesn't even make sense sometimes. But the sense in it is that God knows what's best, and if God says to do it, we have to obediently do it. He got up and took the child and he went to the land of Israel. When he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid. Again, having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and he lived in a town called Nazareth. And again, a prophecy is fulfilled. Three prophecies fulfilled in this story. God continuing to work, going ahead of the curve, so to speak, going ahead of the evil desires and the evil heart of Herod. Now, why didn't God destroy Herod and save Jesus? Because God's a God of grace. Herod had a chance to repent. The gospel was technically preached to Herod in Jerusalem. We've come to worship this new king that had been born. That was born king of the Jews. You see, the prophecy, he called together the chief priests. He called together the teachers of the law, and he asked them where the Christ, where the Messiah was to be born. The Magi said, "We've come to see him. He's been born. This Messiah has been born." Herod had a choice. Either worship him, go with them, and accept him, or reject him. And what did Herod do? He rejected him. He rejected the gospel. God still had grace on him, though, and allowed him to live. Because God's omniscient power, his all-knowing power, knew Herod was going to die, that things were going to be all right, and Jesus would be right exactly where God wanted him to be very shortly. And that's what took place as Jesus went to live in Nazareth in Galilee. In Nazareth, and this word Nazareth implies, as my notes here say this morning, that disgrace, it's probably a synonym for contemptible or despised. Jesus was both of those, despised by his people. That's why he was called a Nazarene. He was called one who was despised. But you see, God was going ahead. God knew this was going to happen. And although many say the Bible's all about us, we see it's not. We see it's all about God and his presence. Remember I said last week how God is literally saturating our lives every single day. His presence is there and he's going ahead of us, preparing the way for us. God didn't wait till you were born to plan your life. He planned it, as my grandmother used to say, before you were in a peanut shell. He planned it. And your days were in His hands throughout your life. Now, I want you to take a moment this morning and just think about your own personal life. Let's just stop for a moment and think about our own personal lives. And we think about the struggles we have gone through, are going through, might even be going through in the near future. I want you to stop for a moment and remember one thing. God created you. I want you to remember how precious you are to God. You are His created being. He knew you before you were even created or before you were even in your mother's womb. You are precious to God. Secondly, I want you to think about God's power to help you. God knows your future. He knows your past. He knows your present. And I keep telling people over and over, God is more interesting in what you're becoming and who you're becoming and your relationship as you're becoming that to Him than He is in your past. So you've got to say to the devil, get out of here. You are a stumbling block in my life. Yes, my past might have not been so good. I might have done this. I might have said that. I might not have done this that I should have. But my God is more interested in who I am becoming. And by grace, He is going to, we call it, sanctify me as I go along in life. And He has the power to, God has the power to do that. Thirdly, I want you to think about His desire to save you or help you. God doesn't like to see us struggle. Some people blame their struggles on God. And it is okay to question God, why is this happening? Not why are you doing this? Maybe why are you allowing this? Why is this happening? I don't understand, God. That's the cry of a child. Help me, God. I don't understand. Why are you allowing this? But I know you are allowing it for my good. Because God's desire is to save you and help you. The question is, do you trust that He knows best? He is not only in control of your life, but think about this. He's not only in control of your life, but He is in control of all that affects your life around you and everybody else that you are involved in. And with. God's working in their life too. So sometimes we just have to be patient till God either gets them in line with the plan or God allows them to drift away on their own rejection. He's in control of every single thing that affects your life. Over and over again in the Bible, we see the testimonies of how God works and moves people, and He works circumstances for the benefit of His people. Folks, we're studying Isaiah. Isaiah is a troubling book for many people. It's hard to understand and read, but you know what we're finding every single week as we study the chapters? It's the same thing over and over again. We are finding a God who, yes, rebukes, and yes, chastises and punishes His people for disobedience, but a God who takes a situation of hopelessness and turns it into a situation of hopefulness. And that's grace. That's grace. We're finding it over and over and over every week. Through the whole book of Isaiah, it's the same God. And we see the same pattern in the whole Bible. Paul said to the Romans in chapter 8, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. So what then shall we say in response to this? If God's for us, who can be against us?" Who can be against us? "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him, His Son, graciously give us all things?" You see, God's desire is to save us and bless us. That was David's comfort and strength. As Liu sang that song, I thought about Psalm 139 from which we read this morning. Lord, you've searched me. You know me. You know when I sit, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word's even on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, ain't no mountain high enough. You're there. If I make my bed in the depths, ain't no ocean deep enough. You're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, there ain't no darkness dark enough, is there? And the light become as night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Why? Because you created me. My inmost being, you knit me together. My frame's not hidden for you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. Oh my gosh, how can people kill thousands and thousands of children in the womb? And God's word tells us that God sees our unformed bodies, and the days are ordained. Our days are ordained. To put it in perspective this morning, folks, nobody knows it all except God. He's the divine know-it-all. Therefore, He's our go-to person for help, for direction, for cleanup and recovery, for a helping hand, for support, for strength, for patience. All through life, we keep turning to God. We keep turning to God. After all, in the flesh is Jesus Christ. He experienced our suffering. He knows best how it feels and how to deal with anything. Remember, God came in the flesh as Jesus. He knows our suffering. And He will never, this is the best part, He will never laugh at us or make us feel ashamed because we're in a mess. He'll never laugh at us or make us feel ashamed because we're in a mess. He's our God of grace. He's our ever-present help. He's our great high priest. He's our all-knowing God. He's the God who knows it all, and a God who gave us it all in Christ Jesus, and a God who offers it all and promises all. And we see this morning that He's a God of justice. He's a God of salvation, but oh, He's a God of justice. How unjust. How unjust that Herod would derail God's plan and defeat Jesus. God's a God of justice. God will see His plan through to completion. And God provides salvation in any and every situation to those who accept His plan and live according to God's will. Let's pray. Oh God, your good news for us this morning.